يا നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യം നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ നഷ്ടപ്രായേഷു അഭദ്രേഷു നിത്യം ഭാഗവത സേവയാ ഭഗവതീരുത്തമ ശ്ലോകേ ഭക്തിർഭവതി നൈഷ്ഠികേ. റീഡിംഗ് ഫ്രം ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം കാൻഡോ 11 ചാപ്റ്റർ 24 ടെക്സ്റ്റ് 6. തേപ്യ സംഭവത് സൂത്രം മഹാൻ സൂത്രേണ സംയുതഃ തതോ വികുർവതോ ജാതോ യോഹങ്കാരോ വിമോഹനഃ. തേപ്യ സംഭവത് സൂത്രം മഹാൻ സൂത്രേണ സംയുതഃ തതോ വികുർവതോ ജാതോ യോഹങ്കാരോ വിമോഹനഃ. തേപ്യ സംഭവത് സൂത്രം മഹാൻ സൂത്രേണ സംയുതഃ തതോ വികുർവതോ ജാതോ യോഹങ്കാരോ വിമോഹനഃ. തേപ്യ സംഭവത് സൂത്രം മഹാൻ സൂത്രേണ സംയുതഃ തതോ വികുർവതോ ജാതോ യോഹങ്കാരോ വിമോഹനഃ. തേഭ്യ from those modes sambhavat arose sutram, the first transformation of nature endowed with potency of activity. Mahan, the primeval nature endowed with the potency of knowledge. Sutrena, with this sutra tattva. Samyuta, conjoined. Tata, from the Mahat. Vikurvata, transforming. Jada, was generated. Ya, which. Ahankara, false ego. Vimohana, the cause of bewilderment. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. From these modes arose the primeval sutra along with the Mahatattva. By the transformation of the Mahatattva was generated the false ego, the cause of the living entity's bewilderment. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, sutra is the first transformation of the material nature that manifests the potency of activity, and it accompanied by the Mahatattva, which is endowed with the potency of knowledge. In the material world, one's real knowledge is covered by the fruitive activity and mental speculation. As one's devotional service to the Lord slackens, these two tendencies grow automatically, just as the diminishing of light automatically brings an increase in darkness.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകതാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സപതാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരും ശ്രീയുതപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച Sri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaidam Savadudam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vishnavebhyo Namo Namaham Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swaminidinamine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavati Paschatya Deshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Thepya Sambhavat Sutram Mahan Sutrena Samyutaha Tato Vikurvato Jado Ya Ahankara Vimohana. From these modes of the Pramivat Sutra along with the Mahatattva, by the transformation of the Mahatattva was generated the false ego, the cause of living entities' bewilderment. So in this specific chapter, Krishna is instructing Uttava, the Sankhya Yoga. So Sankhya Yoga, when we hear about Sankhya Yoga, there are like another two type of Sankhya Yoga exist. Means like, and generally people discuss about the Sankhya Yoga, which is, you know, the part of the Shaddarsanas, which is actually non-theistic. Means that doesn't accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Means the Shaddarsanas, Nyaya and Vaisheshika, they go together. And then comes Sankhya and Yoga. They also like complement each other to a certain degree. And then Mimamsa and Vedanta comes. These are the six philosophical, you know, Indian philosophical systems, which we can say that. So in that Sankhya, what is generally known outside is caused to again, somebody known as Kapila, which is not a Devahuti's son Kapila, which is elaborately discussed in third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially chapter 26, 27, like that. It is very detailed. The Sankhya Yoga, theistic Sankhya Yoga, is been described over there. Means. So generally, this Sankhya Yoga, what outside people discuss, is of non-theistic in nature. You know, so they don't accept. There is no concept of God there, means. They have this directly. So Sankhya Yoga, so there are similarities you can see between the both, you know, with the exclusion of the incorporation of the concept of Supreme Personality or Supreme Purusha over there. So otherwise Sankhya says that there is a Prakriti and there is a Purusha. So Prakriti is the non-conscious, the material substance, you know, which we can see, perceive, but it is unconscious, and there is a Purusha, he is a conscious entity. You can say that it is the pure consciousness. And during the early development of Sankhya philosophy, when they were arguing with the devotional aspect, and those who accept the position of the Lord, they couldn't explain it properly. Means they always get stuck up with, you know, somewhere how a Prakriti, which is non-conscious entity, you know, can just, because, and they also accept that there is multiple Purushas. And it is not that one Purusha, there are so many Purushas. The individuality of the Purusha has been accepted over there. You know, how does the creation actually starts? Means, So they said Prakriti is influenced by the Purusha, then the creation, all this material creation is being activated. So the question they were stumbled upon is always is that how, even if there is multiple Purushas are there, you know, is if one Purusha has a desire which makes all other Purushas implicated in this creation, means how just because of one Purushas the Prakriti is being forced to create all those things like that. And another problem they were facing was like, you know, God, if you incorporate God, God by definition is eternal and it is immutable. He is immutable, means. And the Sankhya philosophy, the root of Sankhya philosophy is the cause and effect theory, means like. So if somebody, something is immutable, if it cannot be changed, how can the creation happen from that? So all these questions, they were not able to answer properly. So that was the drawback of that system. But when Sankhya, Yoga Sutras comes, Yoga Sutra, Patanjali very clearly accept the position of God. You know, and in fact, in one of the activities he suggests is Ishvara Pranidhana, means surrendering to the Lord. You know, when in the second path, when he is explaining sadhana path, there he writes, what is it? Tapa Swathyaya Ishvara Pranidhana. And these are the ways by which you can get, because all these philosophies were actually the looking for liberation from this kleshas, clutches of this material world. So everybody agrees that there is a suffering, and they were trying to see what are the various means and ways of getting rid of these difficulties or the suffering of the material, suffering of the material entities. So all this, when we look at Sankhya, so it is basically, it is looking at a cause and effect theory, like, you know, karya karana, you know, karya karana kartutte, karanam, prakritim, vidu, bhoktritte sukadukkana, purusha, prakritim para, means like, so something similar comes in Gita also. This is from third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Devahudi, Kapila Muni is explaining to Devahudi, he is explaining that, you know, karya karana kartutve de, right? So Prakriti, even though Purusha is Prakriti Param, he is beyond this, the material creation, he is transcendental, but he is the Bhoktritve Sukha Dukkhana, he is trying to enjoy here the Sukha and Dukkha of this material world. So basically, the Sankhya philosophy point of view, it is, the cause and effect is their main logical way it flows. You know, even if you consider deep into that cause and effect things, there are two divisions. One is Satkaryavad and another is Asatkaryavad. So Satkaryavad means, they say that the effect is existing in the cause. It's already exist in the cause. And Asatkarya says there is nothing like that. The effect comes after transformation is done. So the Sankhya, Yoga and Vedanta basically comes through the Satkaryavada system. And again in the Satkarya there is two more classification. One is Parinamavada and Vivartavada. Basically Shankaracharya uses the Vivartavada. He made famous the Satkaryavada actually. You know, to counteract the Buddhism, you know, this momentariness of this material, like, you know, they used to explain that everything is momentarily. To counteract that, he put forward the Satkaryavada. And he made it famous actually. But he subscribed to this Vivartavada, which says that there is no actual transformation of things. Even Satkaryavada, the cause doesn't actually change us into effect. It is only apparent illusion that it has been transformed into the effect. But Parinamavada says actually there is a change. The effect you can actually perceive, you can see and you can feel it. Right? So we are discussing the Sankhya philosophy. Now we will be discussing something which was actually taught by Kapila Muni. You know, that's what Krishna is again reiterating in the 11th canto also. The same Sankhya. But the other Kapila, he never accepted the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of that, couldn't survive for a long time. Later on, the successors of his philosophical system, they later on then accepted that there has to be a Supreme Purusha. There should be a Param Purusha who controls actually the Prakriti. Because otherwise the theory becomes redundant to a certain degree. So in third canto, Kapila Muni explains, you know, why did Lord created this Prakriti at all? Means he says that Sayesha Prakritim Sukshmam Devam Gunamayim Vibhu Yatrachyopagatam Abhyapadatta Leelaya. You know, as his pastime, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the greatest of the great, accepted the subtle material energy which is invested with the three material modes of nature and which is related with Vishnu. So this is from the 26th chapter of third canto, where the fundamental principles of material nature has been described. So here we can see that Kapila Muni is using that it is Leelaya as his pastime. You know, what is a pastime means, sometimes we also hear that it is his pastime. We generally conversing, we attribute that Leela to even a normal human being in a mortal. But the Acharyas explain, Leela is only possible, Leela is not forced. Right? We are all, our suffering and enjoyment here is not by our free will. You know, it has been forced upon us. We wanted to enjoy, but along with enjoyment, there is suffering is also coming, means as part of it. So, but Krishna, he created the entire material world as part of his Leela. And Prabhupada in the Purport write, the important word here is Gunamayim. It is, you know, so in this word, the word Gunamayim is very significant. Devi means the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Gunamayim means invested with the three modes of material nature. When the material energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, this Gunamayim energy acts as a manifestation of the energies of the three modes, and it acts as a covering. So when the Prakriti actually starts, so sometimes people think that, you know, Prakriti and the modes are something different. Means. So it's given the example like a rope. A rope, guna means rope again. So if you go deeper into the analysis of what is a rope, you take out one by one, finally you get only a strand, a thread, which cannot be called as a... So he says that when you try to understand these gunas, three gunas, and we get in deeper into that, you will not be able to see it, but you can see the effect of it. It's actually the Prakriti itself, you know, the Gunamaya. And in the next verse, very, very, very clearly he says, how does it covers? Gunair vichitra srijatim sap rupa prakritim prajaha vilokya mumuhe sadhya sa iha jnana guhaya. So one of the properties of this Prakriti is jnana guhaya. It covers the knowledge. And for whom? Only praja. You know? Gunair vichitra srijatim sa rupa prakritim praja. So the Prakriti has a tendency of covering jnana, and that is not of the Lord. It is only of a praja. Praja means the conditioned living entities. Means those are created out of it. And Prabhupada beautifully explains with an example of cloud and sun. You know, cloud is a manifestation of the energy of sun. Right? And can the cloud cover sun? No means. But the cloud can cover the vision of sun from a conditioned living entities. So Prabhupada uses that analogy to explain the Purusha of the living entity and the modes of nature or the Prakriti and Ishvara. You know? So Ishvara is above, means the Bhagavan or the God is above his energies. And he also points out there that when in first canto, 7th chapter, when Vyasadeva is seeing the Lord along with Maya standing behind him. You know, he says that Maya cannot come in front of the Lord of blocking him, because it is his energy. So similarly, just like a cloud cannot cover the sun because it is inferior to it. But it can cover the vision of ours, of a conditioned soul. So, the living entities in this material world, because of our whatever is the conditioning and all those things, the prakriti by virtue of its quality of jnana guhaya, it covers our knowledge. Guha means is covering cave like that. So jnana guhaya, it covers the knowledge completely. So what is that knowledge? That knowledge is that we are not this body, we are the spirit soul. So that knowledge, we are not the body, we are that is the first question we teach us or answers when we comes to ISKCON first time, that who am I? I am not this body. That very basic knowledge is been covered by the Maya or this prakriti, material nature. And then why did Krishna created this material world, Leela, as his pastime? To enable this living entities, this conditioned soul, because they wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. So he has created a material world. Okay, you can see this. And when you understand that, you cannot enjoy separately. There is only one Purusha. Actually the Purusha, this Karya Karana Kartutve, Karanam Prakriti Mvidu, Bhoktarche Sukadukana Purusham Prakriti Mpara. The Purusha, there, it is the living entity. He is trying to enjoy it. Actually, there is only one Purusha. That is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why then the living entity and the conditioned soul also addressed us here Purusha? Because we are also trying to enjoy this material world. That's why the word Purusha has been also been sometimes referred for the living entities. But actually, there is only one Purusha, that is Supreme Personality of Godhead right now. And also Krishna explains this this problem of covering in a different way in Bhagavad Gita also. That when he is expressing in the third chapter that the desire, when Arjuna is asking the question that something is forcing us to do, even though I don't want to do these things, somebody is forcing internally, forcing us to do certain activities which we don't like to do it, even though that we know that it is not the correct thing to do, but somebody is forcing us. Then Krishna explains that kama is the kamesha krodesha rajoguna. Then Krishna explains that this covering is also having a three different degrees. That avridam jnana medena jnanino dhumena vriyade vannir yada darsho malena cha Yadolbena vrito garbhas tada tenedam avritam. This avritam means this covering is also of three different degrees. Prabhupada in the purport there, explains that dhumena vriyade vannir. Just like smoke is covered by a fire. So he says that is a first level, is the least cover. The thickness of the cover is very less. So we can see that why the example of fire and the smoke, that whenever we see smoke, we can immediately understand there is a fire. It may not be immediately visible, the fire is there, but smoke eventually transforms into fire. That. So he says that is basically the human form of life. You can actually start beginning of a spiritual life. Right? And then yata darsho malena cha. Just like then second layer of covering is something similar to a mirror covered with the dust. You know, and that is, and we need the cleaning process. That is basically comes to the form of animals, animal species of life, where it is difficult to understand it. And the third one is Idolbena Vrido Garbha. Just like an embryo is covered. You know, when a living entity is covered in an embryo, it is like a very, very thick covering. Nothing of spiritual thing can perceive, that person can perceive it. You know, that is basically referring to the living entities of like, you know, trees and something like that. So they are completely helpless position. So this covering is of three different degrees. And then what does this covering does? Especially Krishna speaks about the human living entities that. And he says, Avridam jnana medena, jnanino nitya vairena, kamarubena gaundeya dushpurena analena cha. So, Avridam jnana medena. So again Krishna reconfirms that. Avridam jnana medena. So this cover, what is this cover? Is the propensity to enjoy, you know, the kama, the lust, that cover our jnana. Jnana medena, jnanino nitya vairina. And it is an eternal enemy. And eternal enemy of whom? Only of jnanis. Jnanino nitya vairina. Samadha Acharya says, why it is said that only jnanino nitya vairina? Is it that for an ignorant person, it is not a vairi? Because an ignorant person cannot understand. A jnani understands that, you know, this material world, there is no pleasure. Even if there is a pleasure, you know, so in Yoga Sutra he says that dukkham eva sarvam. You know, while explaining this, you know, in this, I think the second chapter, Patanjali explained dukkham eva sarvam means. He says there is not at all an iota of pleasure in this world. Even if there is a pleasure, that pleasure eventually transforms into a pain in due course of time. You know. So a intelligent person understands that, so he gives an example that, you know, even if, say suppose you are like, you know, getting some pleasure by doing some activity, that leaves an impression in your heart, you know, and that become a vasana, and that then you are looking for, craving for that pleasure again. You know, that is the root cause of, you know, having again and coming in this material world, again taking birth after birth after birth for that craving. We are looking for that craving. So when a person understands that even whatever little bit of sukha, the pleasure we are gaining, actually that is the cause of our pain. Then he understands that, yeah, that's why Krishna is saying, jnani no nitya vairina means. Because of that desire to enjoy. So there is nothing we can enjoy in this material world actually. So Acharya says that for an intelligent person, so whatever little bit of pleasure is here, that is also pain, and hence it is nitya vairina. It is an eternal enemy. The same problem exists for an ignorant also, but he sees that now it is finally it is giving some pleasure. Let me continue enjoy for some more time. You know, he tried to postpone it. So in one of the classes, Parampuja, you know, Radhana Swami Maharaj was telling that that is one of the biggest disease of the conditioned soul, is that he tried to postpone it. Krishna, by means of various incidences in a person's life, especially, you know, we all want success in our life. Many times it is failures. You know, how do we perceive that failure? Actually, so Maharaj was telling that it is a waking call for us to the Krishna's call actually. But unfortunately nowadays even the alarm have the snooze buttons. We snooze it and again we continue to sleep. So even though there is enough opportunity for us to understand, you know, many times we may be looking, you know, for where do we get this understanding? People are looking for it. And it is said that the lessons are not been taught. It has been caught. The person has to be very attentive. I think in the previous chapter of Avanti Brahman, we can see that he had 25 gurus. Even we also see many times those gurus in our day-to-day activities, but it doesn't register anything in our intellect because of this covering. It doesn't allow us to cover. So an intelligent person understand that this material world, so whenever he get an opportunity of something like this, an apparent failure in his life, he take it as it is the plan of the Lord. For a conditioned soul, he is the enjoyer and his plans, he only aware of his plan. You know, my way or highway, that is attitude we have. But it is very difficult for a conditioned living entity to understand, okay, there is a superior plan, somebody who is planning for all of us, which is sometimes we call as destiny. To accept that is very difficult. It doesn't digest for us. But Krishna is very merciful that he is giving us opportunity to get awakened from this, like another sleep. Then kamarupena kaunteya dushpurena analena cha. Avritam jnana medena jnanino nitya vairina kamarupena kaunteya dushpurena analena cha. So this kamarupa, this enemy of kamarupa is dushpurena. So Madhavacharya write in his commentary that dushpurena means even if you think that it has been done for some time, be very vigilant. As long as you are in this material world, it can again strike back as means dushpurena. It can be never be fulfilled, satisfied. The Prabhupada gives the example of pouring ghee into the fire. Means it will be never be get satisfied. Right. Prabhupada also gives the example is like a butter. If you keep for millions of years in deep freeze, and when it brings closer to the fire, what happens? It melts. You know? Similarly, whenever, even if we, forcefully, suppress our, desire to enjoy, from the, so one way of is, stop feeding the senses. Nirahara. Nirahara dehina. That also Acharya says that it is a diabetic patient is not been allowed to eat sugar or sweet. But the moment he comes in contact with that, the desire is there. Unless and until the desire, we uproot the desire of that enjoyment propensity. So it is always, there is a chance that they can strike back us with a much more vigor. So we have to be very careful with that. And then, dushpurena analena cha. Alam means educate. Analam means ineducate means. There is, even if you consume the entire resources of this material world, still you will be unsatisfied. Actually in one of the Bhagavatam verses it says that, what is Achitendriya? Trilokyam Achitendriya means, even if a person gets all the three worlds, if he is uncontrolled senses, he remains dissatisfied all the time. In one of the book, Devamrita Swami, he has written a book, Hiding in Unnatural Happiness. There he says that, in one of the sections, he says the fallacies of freedom. He says that there are five myths in this material world we are feeding in, where we are thriving in. That he says the first thing is that money brings happiness. That if you have money, you can enjoy to your heart content. And then he says the second point is that the technology can bring happiness. Your apps, the gadgets, they can bring you happiness. And the third thing he says that the weapons can bring security. And the fourth thing is that there is unlimited resources in this earth can support unlimited resources to gratify our senses unlimitedly. That is the fourth thing he says. And the fifth thing says that even the earth has the capacity to absorb unlimited refuses from your man consumptions. Means very interesting article he has written in there. So we have, so it is analam, dushpurena analena cha. So no matter whatever you provide, it will keep asking for more. It will never get satisfied, you know. Then, so in this continuous three verses, 39, 40 and 41 of the third chapter, Krishna says that it is covering jnana clearly. In three times he says that. Indriyani mano bithir asyadishtana mucchate yeter umohyatyesha jnanam avritya dehina. You know? So, in the purport to that, Prabhupada says that intelligence is the immediate next door neighbor of the spirit soul. And lusty intelligence influences the spirit soul to acquire the false ego and identify itself with matter and thus with the mind and the senses. So in the Sankhya and Yoga philosophies also, the same thing is explained, that the intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul. You know? So actually from even intelligence is a material thing. It doesn't have its own existence, means it cannot act anything its own. So, but when the consciousness is being transferred to the, then when the living entity's consciousness is reflected upon that material intelligence, contaminated intelligence, then it gets activated, and then he sees through the intelligence only, means everything, with the covered knowledge of that. So whatever he sees, just like a person, you know, the examples are given, is like a person is, when he has a problem of seeing, he keeps on his spectacles, right? Like many devotees are keeping his specs. Say suppose if a person refuses to remove the specs, that, no, it is me. What happens? You know, that is our nature actually. You know, the specs is given to see this world, but we identify that even specs, that spectacle itself is, I am. That is the case with the buddhi, you know, the intelligence, and the soul, means the pure consciousness. Actually, it has nothing to do. It is like, you know, something you can say that, you know, we have this Bluetooth connectivity. It's close proximity, you can get connected. The purpose is something different, but we use it for our own enjoyment. Right? Then, Krishna goes on to speak that, Tasmatam indriyanyado niyamya bharadashaba papmanam prajahyenam jnana vijnana nasanam. If you are not careful about this, this desire, it will destroy your jnana and vijnana. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, jnana means knowledge of the self, distinguished from the body. And what is vijnana is specific knowledge related to the spirit soul's constitutional position and its relationship to the Supreme Soul. So if we are not careful in our dealings in this material world, if we are not beware of the consequences of that, then it will destroy both the desire, what we develop inside, internally, that will destroy our jnana and the vijnana also. So the point we are trying to discuss was that the material nature has a property of jnana guha. It can cover up our knowledge completely. And what is that knowledge? Is that we are not this body. We are something separate from the material nature. We are also spiritual in nature. That. Now that is, basically that is ahankara. Aham, aham. So ahankara is also described. You know, sometimes they asmita, ahankara, yoga, in yoga system they call it is asmita. Ahankara is being used as, ahankara is asmita. And there Patanjali explains in a different way, but something similar to this, but in a different style. He says that, digdarshana shaktiyor ekatmata eva asmita. When a person, drik, darshayo means, the seer and the seen, when it identifies as themselves, as one, so that is known as asmita. So there are minor differences between, we can say that asmita and ahankar and all those, it is a grammatical things, but more or less in our conversations we can take it both are the same thing, asmita. And this asmita this ahankara is basically sprouting out of ignorance, avidya. And that avidya is basically is covering of our original knowledge. As a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, we all full of knowledge, right? But we are not able to access it because of this covering. And there is, and how can we break through this covering? So while explaining that avidya, Patanjali also says that what is exactly that avidya is also. He says that, you know, anitya asuchi dukkha anatmasu nitya suchi sukha atma khyadir avidya. Means something which is anitya, asuchi and dukkha. Anitya, asuchi and dukkha, you are thinking that is nitya, suchi and sukha, which is atma. Means you are considering anatman as atma. That is basically avidya. Means. So when we, so there are various ways shastras describe how we can break through this knowledge, this ignorance. And like, you know, Prabhupada very mercifully given us the path of devotional service, by which we can also break through this with, because other paths are very tedious to practice. Then the yoga, you know, and other paths. In Ashtanga Yoga, it is very difficult. We know that we can even difficult to sit for a 1 hour class in a proper post. You know, we keep changing our positions. You know, sometimes relaxed, sometimes sitting upright. Very few people can do those all asanas and other things. So, Prabhupada, by his compassion, means by seeing the suffering of this material, like, you know, the living entities, so the acharyas keep coming, and Krishna also sends them on various, like, you know, occasions, and try to give us that knowledge and how to practice it. So somebody may be saying that, you know, we are practicing devotional service, we may not be understanding, we are not at realize that we are not this body. But he has given a method by practicing, by engaging our propensities. Slowly we can purify our existence. And among the various methods in this Kali Yuga, the easiest one is Harinam, taking shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Iva Kevalam, Kalo, Nastevya, Nastevya, Gadiranyatha. So this is the easiest way by which we can break through that barrier of that ignorance, you know. And when we practice the devotional service, as a byproduct of that, we naturally get that jnana. You know, vairagyam, what is that verse? Vasudeva Bhagavadi Bhakti Yoga Prayojidaha Janeti Yash Vairagyam Jnanam Tat Ahaitukam Jnanam. You know? So not that jnana and vairagya is different from the what we generally consider as knowledge. It is not some information, we are processing it. You know? We have that understanding, we have that knowledge, but it will be slowly be revealed when we practice devotional service. And that vairagya, what he is speaking in that verse, is not the hard-heartedness, you know, of dry renunciation. But when you practice devotional service under the guidance of a proper spiritual master, that as a byproduct of that practice of devotional service, we get the vairagya renunciation, which actually makes our heart very soft. And in such a soft heart only, that is like a fertile ground for the seed of bhakti to again flourish. You know? So that jnana. So Prabhupada has given us this Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and so many other scriptures and the wonderful other classes and realization by his disciples. So when we are very sincere in our attempt, you know, depending on our condition, means like, you know, it's not that everybody is on an equal level. Means people have different levels. So depending on the capacity of the person, it may take, somebody may take some 3 months. I know somebody may take 3 lifetimes. I know somebody may take 3 million lifetimes, depending on the that. So it all left to our sincerity and our, like, you know, dedication, commitment to the process. I know And all the process start with Adav Shraddha. So we need the faith. If you keep cynical always, will it work? Is he speaking is correct? Because we are not able to understand. We are not able to realize. We don't have that understanding. But we should have the faith that our predecessors, those who have practiced it, we have seen it. And because the same knowledge, the same analogy what Prabhupada was giving, the cloud analogy, we can use it here. As a conditioned soul, we cannot see beyond that cloud. Means it always blocks it. If you try to understand how the entire thing happening beyond the scenes, we will not be able to understand it. Because finally we are only a part and parcel of the Lord. Means what he does and what is his plans and everything, how can we comprehend? That is the arrogance we have. We try to fit everything into our logical, rational mind. We try to analyze it with that, and many times we fail. And it is said that there are three types of people. When something like this happens, they are not, that certain people, they thank God for whatever happens in their life. And certain people blame the Lord for everything. Means if anything goes beyond their hands, means if things don't happen the way they plan, they say that, why does the Lord does it to me? Means, one of the topic for our Gita course is that why bad things happen to good people. People are not able to comprehend that. And there is a third category of people, they say there is no God exist. Because out of frustration, they couldn't figure it out. Because again, the center is that, I. That's what, the translation also says. It is the false ego bewilders the soul completely. That. So just like, Prabhupada always gives the example that when somebody is drowning himself, he has to accept the hand of the person, somebody who is extending a hand. We don't that time question, who are you, from where you came, what is your intention? We don't question all those things. But that helping hand is been, we catch it. After coming out of the problem, then we can sit and discuss it. Then we will be in a better position to understand. But at that point of time, we will not be able to discuss that. So similarly, our present condition is very pathetic. And many times we are not even able to realize that we are suffering. Some people are saying, this is the way of life. Be happy with that. But a devotee, even though he accept everything as the will of the Lord, and he never become complacent or lazy. He tries his best. He puts his best endeavor, and then whatever comes out of the way of the mercy of the Lord, like Tatena Gambam Susmikshamano, like Brahmaji's prayers, that he accept with a grateful heart. So if he want to break this barrier of this covering, so we need to take the shelter of the proper bona fide representatives of the Lord, basically the spiritual masters and his representatives and the practicing devotees. In their association, if we practice sincerely, we can also break this thick layer of ignorance, avidya. So, any questions or comments on this? Garandaraj Shim, yes. Asatkarya. Satkarya, asatkarya. What was the question?
Ram, Hari Ram. You explained about Satkaryavad, two categories also. So is there something about Asatkaryavad also?
Yeah, Asatkarya is there. As I mentioned that, they don't accept there is, the effect is pre-existing in the cause. Basically, Nyaya, Vaisheshika and Mimamsa, they follow that Asatkaryavad. And even Buddhist. So that's why Shankaracharya took Satkaryavada to defeat that Buddhistic philosophy. For them, everything is momentary. It happens like that. According to them, anything can happen from anything. Satkarya means there is the cause. Anything cannot come from anything. For a particular product, there has to be a particular cause. Just like if you want a gold chain, it has to come from gold only. Is it okay? Karandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.